It's your host, Holly, and it's time for a little teaser talk. What's up, everyone? Happy Teaser Talk Tuesday. I am so excited about today's guest because he's definitely no stranger to the podcast. Welcome, Wayne Lozenak from Hatebreed.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back again.
Oh my gosh. It's great to have you back on, and let's catch up. I mean, I think it was like, what, 2019.
Yeah, it was in that area.
Time flies when you're having fun, though. So
right.
Let's catch up. What have you been up to the past few years, both personally and professionally?
Let's see. Since I last talked, I moved from Connecticut to California. So that's probably one of the biggest things. I'm up in, I was born and raised in Connecticut. That's where the band's from.
Yeah.
But I've been living up in the Bay Area, like 45 minutes north of San Francisco, something like that, for the last 2.5 years. So that's cool. I don't have to shovel snow anymore. So that's always a good perk.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even know that because it makes sense. You know, we were logistically making a time schedule and you said East Coast. I was like, right. Oh, there must be playing a show out there. Or yeah,
West Coast.
So, West Coast, East Coast. Jesus.
Yeah. Right. So we don't know.
It is. Yeah. One of those states that the other side of Connecticut.
Right.
So. Well, that's exciting. And yeah, I don't know how you guys deal with snow there when you live there, because like it might snow maybe twice where I'm at here in Oklahoma, and both times is like awful. So,
oh yeah. So yeah, it gets cool. It's not like hot all the time. It could get down to like 30 degrees over here in the winter, but not enough to snow, I guess. So we're good with that.
That's awesome. Well, I know in 2020, so this was after we had chatted, and I know it's been a minute. But still, I do want to kind of touch on Weight of False Self when it came out. That was super dope.
Right. Yeah. The problem that sucks is we recorded it before COVID, and then we were all set to, it was going to be released. We're going to do this whole world tour with Parkway Drive. And then the whole thing, just the world shut down. So that tour never happened. And then, we kind of pushed off the release of Weight of the False Self to like the end of COVID. But then we didn't really tour on it. So it's almost like it just kind of vanished into like the thin air, you know. But I mean, I liked it. Just some good songs on it. We play a couple live every once in a while, but we never did like a proper tour on it. Because right when we came back, it was like we got to open for Megadeth and Lamb of God on the first tour back. So that was great.
Yeah.
But then the next year when we started doing like headline shows, we kind of did the, I think it was the 20th anniversary of Perseverance. Then we did 20th anniversary of Rise of Brutality. So we were doing all these things, and that album kind of, I don't know.
So poor Weight of the False Self. It kind of didn't get the recognition it deserved. It kind of got overshadowed by COVID and then the 20th anniversary. Well, sad news. You guys need to have like a, I don't know, like a rebirth of it or something.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Well, I know on that album, I mean, I feel like Hatebreed, you guys have a reoccurring theme, in my opinion. Like, you guys always have a lot of like self-reflection and like societal like dynamics, if you will. It's always been on point with that. How do you feel like these themes play into your guys' influence within the metal genre? Because I feel like it's cool because people are always like metal music, like they think of like angry in the sense of like destruction in a bad way, but I feel like Hatebreed is such like a very positive band when you listen to it and you listen to the messages.
I think feel like that kind of comes from the hardcore scene, since we're kind of a mixture of both, which is good because I love both styles of music, and we could play with hardcore bands or metal bands and not be out of place, like no matter where it is. But it's cool because it's like always usually a positive message, but it's real heavy, angry sounding music. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's a cool way to get the message across with a different, through a different, you know, area. So it works for us. So, you know, I like it.
I like it too. Well, it's definitely working for you guys. So speaking of music and everything else, someone has a birthday coming up, and it's not me.
Yes. Nope. That's
So
actually, it kind of worked out because we're playing Connecticut for my birthday and the 30th anniversary of the band on St. Patrick's Day. So it's a triple party. So that's going to be great. And I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
that's awesome. So you said it's back in Connecticut. Are you guys, is it a show that you guys are just performing yourself, or do you guys have anybody that's
No,
open?
it's this place called the Oakdale in Wallingford, and it's a pretty big place, and it's almost like a mini festival we're doing. It's two different stages, and it starts at like noon on a Sunday, and it's us, 100 Demons, Shadows Fall, Sworn Enemy. There's a bunch of bands between the two stages, so it's going to be a great time.
Well, I know obviously I follow you on social media. I follow the band on social media. So you guys have a lot of tours coming up. Obviously, you just mentioned March for your birthday, but you have a lot of things coming up. Are there any specific cities or venues that you're particularly excited to perform at coming up
Well,
this summer?
before the summer, it's mostly just festivals. Like we're doing a festival in Louisville, Kentucky, the LDB Fest right in March. And then April, I'm not sure. May, we're doing the Milwaukee Metal Fest, which I don't know if you know, Jamie kind of took that whole festival over. So it's his festival, which is cool. So that's going to be fun. And then the summer, we're going to Europe. We're doing a bunch of festivals over there, plus some club shows in between. It hasn't all been figured out yet. And then hopefully September, October, we're going to do a headline run in the US, but nothing's been actually scheduled yet. So I don't know which places I'm excited for, because I can't tell you right
Well, of course, right? I like the
now,
little
but I'm
teaser.
excited for all of them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'm definitely looking forward then to the potential fall US tour,
Right.
because yeah, I feel like there's there haven't been that many shows around me personally, so I'm always looking forward to that kind of season. So from all those places, you have so many different city, states, countries. Is there a specific place that you're looking forward to either going back to or performing at for the first time? I mean, I feel like you guys have been everywhere,
Yeah,
so
I mean, there are places I think we haven't played, but I don't know if there's anything new on
yeah.
this one coming up, but Germany is always good for us, especially the festivals over there. They're always insane. And of course, Connecticut is just,
Yeah.
that's great.
So
Hopefully we'll play the Bay Area at some point, because this is my new home. So that's pretty, I'm, going to shows all the time out here. So it's great meeting a lot of new people, a lot of old people that I've known from touring bands. There's tons of them out here, the whole thrash metal scene and the hardcore bands. So it's
yeah.
cool, but.
I love it. Well, I mean, like with that chaotic schedule, I mean, I'm sure you don't even know what day, what year, what time zone you're in.
Yeah.
Obviously, touring often involves balancing the demands of live performances, being on top of your game, traveling, of course, your personal well-being. How have you guys developed like a system or habits through touring to kind of take the steps to ensure a positive and sustainable experience for not only just you, but the entire band and crew?
I think we've just been doing it so long that it's almost like normal to us. It's like regular. It's almost like being home is kind of weird when you're like sitting in like normalcy, and you don't know what to do then. But we've been out living on a bus, most of the same people, the crew, the band, and as long as you should find a way to get along, that's really all that matters. Everyone has different systems and everything, but if you can't get along with your band members, that's when thing kind of gets bad. But
Yeah.
we've been doing good.
Yeah, I think
They have
what,
your little fights every now and then,
of
obviously,
course.
like a family, but
Yeah.
we're pretty all right.
That's awesome. Well, I know like what we met back in 2017 at Warped Tour.
Yep.
I remember it because there's the PBR queue, and I remember it was Dallas in August, so it's like hotter than hell essentially
Yeah.
there. And I just remember from experiencing like from the beginning of the show to the end. Of course, we all know Warped Tour was like a city built in one day. And as somebody who's just participating, so I'm not definitely not performing under this heat, I'm not doing anything. I was exhausted. And then just to pick up and then to go to another city the next day and do it all over again. I mean, kudos to you guys, because I remember even talking with Jess Margera from CKY, and he was just like talking like, yeah, we just roll up and we just take over gas stations and all the tour buses will just come in and
oh yeah. And there's out. You got as soon as you get off, there's like a line of porta potties. So that's your bathroom for the day, which is like, especially in the summer. The worst thing about Warped Tour, there's so many bands, like an insane amount of bands. I forgot if it was 65 bands, something crazy with multiple stages. You don't know what time you're going on until the morning because they don't have a headliner. Everyone's equal. So it doesn't matter how big you are, how small. You're always on the same stage, but you never know what time. Could be 11 in the morning or to 8 at night. So everyone's waking up at 10 in the morning like, all right, what time do we go on? Okay. And it's like, that's kind of rough, but that's how they always did it. And the heat, that was because I can't stand the extreme heat. Like shows in Vegas and Arizona, it was just like, I remember getting off the bus to go watch some bands. And I'm like, nope. Right back on, sit in that air condition. I'm going to wait this day out. But yeah. It's something.
Yeah, well, kudos to you guys for, you know, like you said, obviously, it's not your first rodeo. You guys are in a new band. You guys right. have been there, done that multiple places, multiple times. But still, like, I mean, like, it's a lot. So kudos to you guys for having that rhythm. Oh,
and catering, too, for that. You'll wait in line, like, depending on if you go when it right opens, forget it. You're just waiting and standing and That's a whole nother thing.
Play the waiting game and hope cool. that there's still dessert left over.
Right. It's fun, though. It's cool because you're hanging out with all the bands every day. Sometimes you get done early. You just have the whole time to just party and watch bands, which could get dangerous, but it's still fun.
Very much so. Have you guys ever played Rocklahoma? I feel like I should know this answer, but I don't.
Actually, I don't even remember. I'm not sure. Because a lot of those festivals, it's like we played so many, it's like they kind of blend together.
Well, and I feel like they're so back to back with each other too, so you can't, you know, it's easy to mistake, you know, one for the other.
Right, exactly. Like, I feel like we did, but I'd have to go back and look. I know we've done like Welcome to Rockville and a lot of those.
Which you guys aren't doing it this year, are you? Or are you?
Nope.
Yeah, because I've been promoting that for. Danny Wimmer Presents and stuff, and I didn't remember seeing you guys on the list of it. So, but anyway,
maybe next year.
For sure, maybe next year. Well, I know, like, I'm not sure if that festival, and it makes sense, but like Rocklahoma, for example, they have it to where it's like, if you played one year, like they won't put you on the next year just so that they keep
going. Right. Yeah, that's how a lot of stuff for
like
us
it's specific.
Too.
Yeah.
Right.
But I definitely got a taste of. When we did media coverage for Rocklahoma of the whole catering thing and like getting in there and the crazy lines and trying to find a seat and then drinking when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
So spacing that out, not getting too wasted. I mean, podcast is a podcast, but I can only imagine performing underneath that circumstances. Right. So crazy stuff. Well, anyways, back to you. You know, with you guys, I mean, obviously you guys are fucking awesome, but are you guys having any upcoming like projects, collaborations? Is there anything on the horizon for 2024 when it comes to that with Hatebreed?
No, nothing for me. I'm sure. Besides, there's Phil Demmel. He used to play in Machine Head and Violence. He actually lives pretty close to me, and he owns a bar, and he does a cover band and invites all these like guest musicians from all different bands. So that's cool. That's something different other than Hatebreed that I do every once in a while. You get to jam some cool covers, Kiss, Metallica. I think I played a Journey song the last time, Beastie Boys. So that's a fun time, but I have nothing really serious. And Jamie's got a ton of things, you know, he's got his podcast and studio stuff. So I like to relax sometimes when we're not on tour, but you never know. Maybe one of these days I'll do something else.
Do something wild. I like it. So it's interesting though too, because you guys have been in the industry for quite some time. I mean, like years, not just a little bit of time. But
30 years this year.
Your birthdays that you're celebrating with you and the band. Yeah. But so what, you guys started playing when you're like two, right, or something like that?
Yep.
Well, let's not date ourselves, but with that, obviously, you have seen the evolution of the music industry from CDs to the evolution of how you consume it, how you purchase it. Right. How you experience it. With that being said, I'm curious, like, how have you guys experienced when it comes to the creation process and the releasing music? How has that changed? And then how do you see it evolving for like moving forward within this crazy digital
age? It's probably why we don't release albums too often, because it's like it's mostly touring and you know, for the business side of it, I guess you could say touring and selling t-shirts at your show and merch. That's how we make money. There's so many albums like that we have out now. It's hard to pick songs. You know, the new every new album, it's like more songs we gotta take out of the set. So, but we still like making new music, so it'll probably be just less, you know, less albums. And like, yeah, the way they it's just streamed most of the time. You barely sell any albums. It's not like the old days where you're making a ton of money. It's just kind of putting something out there, something different to throw some other songs in the mix. But
Yeah,
I mean, that's how I feel about it.
it's interesting though too, because I feel like though with Hatebreed, like you guys have like classics in the sense of like you're I don't feel like, because no disrespect for some other people, but I feel like some people they just put out music just to put out music so that they can have something coming out on the
Right.
new release radar on Spotify or something like that. And it's not very intentional, not very much meaningful to the band per
Right.
se. It's just like a 2 minute quick song that they drop, or they have 20 singles that they've dropped over the last year, but no full albums that kind of tell a
It's
story.
kind of like a lot of bands are just kind of nostalgia acts, and they just everyone wants to hear stuff that came out in either the 80s or the 90s, and they're just like, oh, whatever, I'm not into new stuff, but I'll still go see them. Which that's good about us, where people still like the new stuff that we put out, which is great, because actually our most streamed song is Looking Down the Barrel of Today. And that came out in 2016. So that's great if they're still liking the new stuff with the old stuff. It's not like they're just like, ah, don't play the new stuff, that sucks, or whatever. So that's always cool to
But you
just
guys,
make something relevant, I guess, still.
absolutely. I feel like you guys definitely have a true, like, hardcore loyal fan base. You guys always have, because I feel like anytime I've ever talked about Hatebreed with anyone, their eyes just like light up. So, I
Right.
mean, you guys have done something very well with establishing the community. And again, going back to the messaging of the songs and how people can relate to, shit that they're
Right.
going through, and it's, communicated in a way that we can all relate to and we actually enjoy listening to. So, yeah, you
Yeah, and
guys
a
have
lot of
something
people,
nice.
they'll come to see multiple shows on the same tour, which is like, you know, traveling all that just to see us is like, it's great. It's like, wow. So this is so we're doing something right, I guess, for some people.
Correct. Yeah, and it's cool too, because, like you said, you guys are very selective on the music you release out. You're very true, staying true to that kind of process of it. But it's interesting though too, because of course, again, we have social media. We have all these ways to connect with fans and kind of keep that community cultivated, if you will. And I think it's cool because, like you said, Jamie has his like podcast, his podcasting network, things like that. Obviously, you're on social media. So, what are some cool creative ways that you've seen staying in touch with fans, whether it be like a live, whether it be like you said, going through like different cover band shows? I'm just curious because you guys have such a solid fan base and people absolutely adore you guys.
That's obviously there's pros and cons to social media, because you could reach a lot of people, you could get tell them exactly what's going on, show you in the moment. But then you got all the negative comments, which kind of just brings everyone down. It's like, if you don't like something, just keep going. That's what I don't understand, why people have to just talk, you know, about everything. But
I
me personally, I like, so I go to shows all the time. Like I, a lot of, some people will get off tour and they're like, I don't even want to see a band, I don't want to hear anything, but I'm like right out to go to the next show. So I'm hanging out with the people at wherever I am. And so like, talking to them like, hey, we're playing here. So it's cool. They're all like happy. Like, oh dude, it's cool meeting you, man. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, you live out here now? Yeah. So then I can't wait to see you. So in person is always the best way you can connect, but you can't always do that. But, and some people just don't want to, but I like that too, just getting in touch with the fans in person at a show, you know, getting that same feeling from another band that they get maybe from watching us, which is always cool.
Yeah, there's I just don't believe that in person could ever replace. I don't care what kind of
Right.
VR
Right.
technology people can watch and consume concerts on, but at the end of the day, being there, breathing the same air, feeling the same feelings of the crowd, and
Yep.
experiencing, whether it be hotter than balls or freezing cold outside,
Right.
it's all part of that's all part of
Yep.
experience.
I still love it, so that's good. I get to play, you know, have a career, and
Yeah.
the best thing that I love more than anything is music and live music, so.
That's awesome. Well, it's definitely shows. I mean, obviously, 30 years. If
Yeah.
someone absolutely hated it, that would be a. I just don't see somebody
Right.
lasting that long in it. So
Yeah.
that's pretty cool. Well, aside from like music, and I know you just made your big move from East Coast to West Coast, not vice versa. So aside from music and that big move, are there any other cool like passions or interests you've picked up, you know, since relocating that you've been exploring recently and then just kind of enjoying things?
I mean, I was never really a hiking kind of person, but getting outdoors and going on some hikes and parks and just kind of doing something different. Also, I ride a motorcycle, so it's cool. I could do that year round out here in Connecticut. It's in the garage for months, freezing and out of the snow. So that's probably my other
nice
passion besides music and, you know, going to the bar, drinking beer.
Yeah, that's
I'm pretty simple.
I feel like that's anytime I have like friends like fun from like out of state or, you know, people come in Oklahoma and they're like, what do you do for fun? I'm like, bars. So
yeah.
I feel you on that last one. That's also part of my hobbies too.
Yeah. So all these people have these all, you know, like eccentric things. I'm like, yeah, you know, music, motorcycles, beer.
You're a simple guy. And I appreciate that about you. That's awesome. So looking forward to the rest of 2024, what are some of the main goals? I know, obviously, we just talked about a lot of things you guys are doing, but as far as goals and aspirations for a Hatebreed, both in the terms of like musical endeavors and then like what you guys want to accomplish while you're on tour?
Just hopefully play some really big shows and people show up for the 30th anniversary because it's going to be a good one. And we have some good plans in the works for those shows. So just hopefully they're all successful and bigger than they have been. Not that they haven't been big, but we're thankful for everything. But I think that's what we're just happy that we made it this far and keep going.
Absolutely. Well, Wayne, I really appreciate you being on back on Teaser Talk, and it was great catching up with you. For you guys listening in, make sure you creep on his social, make sure you creep on Hatebreed's social, because it sounds like they got some cool stuff coming up that they're not ready to announce just yet for this
podcast
here in the
U.S. I have something. I totally forgot.
Perfect.
I have my own signature guitar now from Dean Guitars. That's probably one of the biggest things, too, besides moving. And they are available. They should be showing up at stores around May.
That is sick. EMG
pickups. It's got satin neck. So that's a big thing. I don't know how that slipped my mind, but
that's a huge
guitars. Yeah. Signature model available soon, possibly showing up in stores around May. So be on the lookout for that.
Well, that was a nice little surprise and delight after everyone was like, wah, wah, wah. I guess we'll have to wait till later. And then bam, surprise. Also big news, you guys, signature guitar. So that's awesome. Congratulations on all that. And I can't wait to see how everything turns out for you guys for this year. And hopefully I'll see you guys in the fall when you guys make your rounds back in the U.S.
Yes.
Awesome. I'll talk to you soon. And I just appreciate you being on. You're always a gem to talk to.
I appreciate being on.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Teaser Talk. Head over to teasertalk.com to subscribe so you don't miss out on another episode. Until next week, keep rocking.